and question, what about all the Mayavadis? What about all the dry scholars? What about all the devotees of other forms of God? They're not getting great delight in worshiping the original personality of God as Sri Krishna because they don't worship Sri Krishna. If you want to get the delight, you have to do the worship. And there's actually, in reality, many people who don't do it. Who don't want to do it or don't know about it, aren't convinced that there's delight to be found in it. Well, Prabhupada is simply defining transcendentalists as real transcendentalists. Devotees of Krishna are transcendentalists. You may not like that circular logic, but this is not a logic textbook. This is making a poetic point that there are many devotees, and we're not saying that everybody's a devotee. That's not the idea. But there are many of them, and there have always been many devotees. We, in our Prema Dwani, we chant, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda. I thought when I was a new bhakta, I thought it had something to do with Vishnu on Ananta Shesha, Ananta. No, it's Ananta Koti. Countless times 10 million. Koti is 10 million, crore. And more crores than you can count, Ananta. That's how many devotees there are. We're in anxiety because there's just a few of us, and we try to convince others to become devotees and they don't want to be. And the number stays small. Oh, we just have a few thousand. No, no, that's here in the material world. You don't know how many devotees there really are. When you count in the residents of the spiritual kingdom of God, they're all devotees, and you can't count them all. You've got a lot of support, a lot of friends. There are countless Vaishnavas who are all your friends. And the devotees of Vaikuntha are not indifferent. In the last chapters of the fourth chapter of the last second part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the residents of Vaikuntha are described as emissaries who don't just stay in Vaikuntha enjoying their relationship with Krishna. They go out. It's not that there's no preaching in Vaikuntha. The Vaikuntha Vasis go out to preach. They leave Vaikuntha and travel to the material world just to give help to us, to countless devotees, and they're all eager to help us. You know, our fairy godbrothers looking out for us. So we shouldn't be discouraged because we only see a few here in this room and everybody outside is not interested to come hear the Bhagavatam. There are countless residents of Vaikuntha whose ears are wide open listening and are eager to participate and support our attempts at service. So that's all the, as Prabhupada's vision of all the transcendentalists, the Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda. They're always, you know, we don't care about what others choose to do. They want to worship some other god. They want to worship no god. They want to worship themselves. They want to worship their wives. They want to worship their wallets. Whatever. That's their problem. That's their foolishness. They chose to do that. And they can enjoy the results of their worship. But the Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda, they enjoy real delight. Yenatma, answer to the question, Yenatma Supersedati. What is it that you can do? What do we learn in the Shastras about what to do to experience real satisfaction, complete satisfaction? Paramaya Buddha, with supreme joy. There's no greater joy. There are different degrees of happiness. The Bhrigu-vali section of the Taittiriya Upanishad discusses Ananda Taratamya, the hierarchy of ecstasies. Ecstasy of a human being is only so much. You only get so much pleasure living as a human being. You get to enjoy going to work, coming home, watching television, getting harassed by your wife and children. This is the ecstasy of being a human being. And the demigods, they have 1,000 times more ecstasy. And the sages have much more ecstasy than that, because I left out several members of the hierarchy, the Gandharvas, the different kinds of Gandharvas, two different levels of Gandharvas, then the Prajapatis, then the demigods, then Indra, then the sages, then Brahma. Each of them has got 1,000 times more ecstasy than the one lower on the chain. But Anandamaya Abhyasat, the absolute truth, is the experiencer of supreme ecstasy. Raso vai saha, same part of the Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad. Raso vai saha, he is the reservoir of pleasure. Rasam yeva yam labhadra, since he's rasa, metaphorically, he's a person. He's not a glass of juice. He's not the rasa, but he's got so much rasa in him, you can call him rasa. Pradanyena vyapadeshaha. A thing is named according to what's most prominent in it. So Krishna is so full of rasa, it's the thing that's most prominent in him, so you can call him rasa, the rasa man. Lila Purushottama. What is it? Sakila Rasamrita Murti. Rupa Goswami's first words in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He's the embodiment of all the rasa. All the kinds of rasa and all of it. It's all reposing in the reservoir of pleasure, which is described in the Upanishad. Raso Vaisaha. He is rasa. He is the juice of life, the pleasure of life, the delight of the soul. Well, that's nice for him. But here I am suffering. But that's your foolishness. You don't have to suffer. You can join him. Rasam yeva labdva, rasam yeva yam. This miserable spirit soul, this wretched, conditioned living entity, all he has to do is become Krishna conscious. Realize Krishna. Because just by thinking about Krishna, you reconnect yourself in your relationship with him. All that's required is to become Krishna conscious. It's like you could achieve anything you want just by thinking about it. That's amazing. I can sit and think how I'm going to get my visa extended. But until I actually go to the office and pay some bakshis, nothing happens. Fill out the forms, pay a bribe, see somebody, talk to them, fall on my knees and beg, do whatever I can to get the visa extension. I have to do something. But you don't have to pay a bribe. You don't have to go to any office. You don't have to fill out any forms. You don't have to fall on your knees and beg to revive your connection with Krishna. All you have to do is become Krishna conscious. So that's what we have for sale in this institution. We are the manufacturers and distributors of Krishna consciousness. So very rightly, this is just like the General Motors Company produces cars with motors, and the General Electric Company produces electric appliances, and General Foods produces food. So we're the General Krishna Consciousness Corporation. We produce Krishna consciousness, and that's what we distribute around the world. Because that's all that people need. They don't need stinky cars. They don't need, fans and other gadgets. They don't even need food. What they need, the sustenance they need, the pleasure they need, is the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. Rasam yevayam labhadva. If the wretched living entity gets his connection with Krishna reestablished, if he, in poetic terms, if he obtains Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure, anandi bhavati, he becomes ecstatic. That's the proper condition of the soul, and all of us can have it back. We just have to become Krishna conscious. So therefore, we reproduce Krishna consciousness and manufacture and distribute it. That's our business. Because we have to become Krishna conscious first. The salesman has to know his product first. You have to know Krishna, then you can give Krishna to others. And that will save the world. Nothing else. There's no need for any machinery, no need for keeping accounts, no need for any of this material complication. Just spread Krishna consciousness however you can. Rasam yevayam lam dva anandi bhavati. So paramaya muda, with great, the greatest pleasure. On the hierarchy of pleasures, the highest is the Brahma's ananda, the absolute truth, his own pleasure. But actually, greater than that is the pleasure of his devotees. You would think maybe the devotees experience something of what Krishna experiences, the pleasure. But no, the greatest devotees experience more pleasure than Krishna. Because Krishna is in the role of the vishaya of bhakti, the object of devotion, the one loved. But the one who's doing the loving, the ashraya of bhakti, gets to enjoy more, at least in the higher relationships, when there's full-blown love, especially mahabhava. Then the ashraya enjoys more than the vishaya. And in order to share that, to know what that pleasure is, the vishaya has to take on the role of the ashraya. He has to become his own devotee, take on that role, to know what his devotees experience. What is that verse? Kidvishiv Vadha. Okay, Sri Radha. What is this greatness of the love of Srimati Radharani? Now, this is Krishna contemplating. So he's thinking, she loves me. This love is amazing. She thinks I'm amazing, but much more amazing is her love for me. You know, I'm God, that's okay, but do I deserve this much love? And he's amazed. He wants to know, what is it like? What is the actual nature of it? I have to experience it for myself. And after that? And this madhurima, the sweetness that she tastes by having me as the object of her love, I cannot understand what that might be. I have to also experience that for myself. I have to switch roles and be in her position. In my position, I am enjoying sweetness, but not that much sweetness. Krishna's thinking. And what is the pleasure, the happiness that she's experiencing as a result? Krishna himself is amazed. So this is Parama Muda. What the pure devotees experience is the highest pleasure, even greater in the best cases, greater than the pleasure that God himself enjoys. He's Anandamayo, by nature ecstatic. But his pure devotee, his devotee in the highest relationships, experiences more pleasure than he does. Therefore, impelled by that pleasure, the great kavis, the real transcendentalists, and all of them and always, perform devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, bhaktim, for or toward Vasudeva, the absolute supreme personality of Godhead. Because that experience of pleasure in serving Krishna gives full, complete satisfaction to the self, to the soul. And Prabhupada is identifying Vasudeva as Sri Krishna. That's also his prerogative to give that interpretation. Someone else will not. But Prabhupada chose to take Vasudeva, not to refer to Vishnu, but to refer to the son of Vasudeva, Krishna, Sri Krishna. And he makes the distinction in the purport that Krishna is Swayam Rup, the original form of God. And his other, he's got many other expansions, beginning with Baladeva, and then the Chatur Vyuha, and then his Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Leela avatars, Yuga avatars, and many other thousands of expansions. But those devotees who worship these other forms of God, who are actually the same person, they don't experience quite the same pleasure and satisfaction. They experience transcendental pleasure and satisfaction, and an infinite amount of such pleasure. It's not that the residents of Vaikuntha are deficient, that they have smiles on their faces, but they're really dissatisfied. You know, like people in this world. They don't go around complaining, you know, boy, you know, we get out of this place, go somewhere else. No. They're fully satisfied. They're enjoying infinite pleasure and satisfaction. But there's different degrees of infinity. There can be even more. As satisfied as they are, there's others who are more satisfied, the residents of Goloka. There is no facility for intimate personal contact in Vaikuntha or in worshipping any other form of God except for Krishna and Balaram. There is no facility for intimate personal contact as in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord at Vrajabhumi. Vrajabhumi appears originally on the topmost planet, Goloka. That world is where you can experience the intimate personal contact of God. Otherwise, elsewhere, there's always some distance, different degrees of distance. You want to be close to Krishna, you can go to Mathura. You want to be a little closer, you can go to Ayodhya. But if you go to Vaikuntha, you're going to be in a distant relationship. You may be standing right by Narayan, fanning him, but you don't have an intimacy. That kind of personal closeness, closeness of relationship. God is God, and servant is servant, and they don't come too close to each other in their loving relationship. That's Vaikuntha mood. That mood is mitigated in Mathura. There's more familiarity. And Ayodhya, also more familiarity, especially in those two places, Mathura and Ayodhya. But full familiarity, full intimacy, is only experienced in Vrajabhumi. The original Vrajabhumi, Diviva Chakshuratatam, Om Tad Vishnu Padamam Padam. Of course, that is understood to be Vaikuntha, but there's three possible interpretations that Jiva Goswami points out in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, Anuchet 71. The common perception, the common interpretation, well, one interpretation is not so common. It's given by the Vishnu Purana is explaining Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, the supreme place of Vishnu, as inside the material world, as Dhruvaloka. That's Vishnu Padam, but it's visible. The rishis who live inside the material world, the Surtis, the divine mystics, they can see the pole star. We can see the pole star. Anyone who knows a little astronomy can look in the sky and see the one star that all the other ones are rotating around. The Big Dipper, the two the bottoms of the panhandle, or the side of the panhandle, point to the pole star, to Polaris or Dhruvaloka. Anybody can see it. Even a child can see it. It's a prominent star, very visible. And the sages, the Surtis, the mystic, inspired mystics, they know what this place is. This is not another star. This is a Vaikuntha planet, revealed within the material world. It was given to Dhruva by his Lord. So that is one identification of Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. The sages who live in this world, they can look at the pole star and worship it as Vaikuntha. The second interpretation given by the Skanda Purana is that this is Mahavaikuntha, the original kingdom of God beyond the Viraja River, the spiritual sky. It's that also. But in that same passage of the Skanda Purana spoken by Lord Shiva to his wife, Haimavati, toward the end of the description, which goes on for about a dozen verses, starts talking about this, what it looks like there. That is a constant festival going on in this Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. That there's lots of cows with big horns. That there's a divine couple who are very happy. and they're surrounded by their maidservants. This starts looking like Goloka. You know, so the Lord Shiva is subtly pointing out to his wife that the real Mahavaikuntha is the secret planet Goloka, the planet of the cows. How many cows do you see in Vaikuntha? They're probably not, you know, they're probably against the law for them to walk around the street in Vaikuntha. You got to keep them in your yard. So that's Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, the supreme abode of the Lord. Ultimately, it's Krishna's most intimate world. But Virala Chara Katipaye, there's only a few people on the face of this earth who know the secret of that place. Even in Vaikuntha, it's not well known. The secret of the highest realm, which is the only place where you can have very intimate contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you want real Paramamuda, the highest pleasure, nothing less, then you have to go there. And how do you get there? Same thing, Krishna consciousness, but a special purity of Krishna consciousness. If you practice Narayana Bhakti, you'll go to Narayan. If you worship just with Sadhana Bhakti, you will go maybe to Dwarka or Mathura, but you have to worship the Lord ecstatically in Nam Sankirtan if you want to, and remember him in that way, if you want to attain the highest planet. And that's all I know about that, so I'm going to stop. Okay, so any questions or comments? Yes. Some living, special living entities. I don't know how to prove it. I just know that Krishna's Kaviraj is telling us that. No, but jivas can also enjoy, can also enter into Mahabhava. Selected jivas can join the rasa dance, can join the intimate gopis in their intimate service to Krishna, and experience this highest pleasure. Okay, but I can't prove that. You might argue only Radharani, only she and a few friends, you know, who are Shakti Tattvas, can experience more pleasure than Krishna. I don't know. Ask Krishna. Yeah. What are you going to do? Become a ghost and enter the person's body like Shankaracharya did? He entered a dead king's body to experience sex? Yes, the Krishna, because of lacking something, a person makes an endeavor. You know, it's proof that he's lacking something. If a person's working really hard to make money, that must mean that he doesn't have enough things yet. What does he need money for if he has everything he wants? That means he doesn't have everything he wants because he's working hard to make more money. That's proof. So Krishna's working hard to do something is proof that he's missing something. So Krishna makes the endeavor to appear again and have a father and mother means that he was missing that. That he felt like I could enjoy more if I had a father and mother. You mean did you say the devotees? I would have never come up with that. That's Sanatana Goswami. Didn't the Shingadev tell that to Prahlad? That I don't, you know. I know Krishna says that to Uddhava, that I'm not as much pleased by the goddess of fortune. I'm not that much attracted to her as I am to you. I think Nisimhadev says something similar to Prahlad, comparing him to the goddess of fortune. Maybe not. Tells who? Oh, in general, the devotees. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, because Prahlad had that solid relationship with him. Everyone else was doubtful. Who is this anyway? You know, is he gonna kill us all? And they're called the sisters of the girl. The gopis. The gopis were Radharani's constant companions. They're the equivalent of, they're the originals from whom the companions of Mahalakshmi come. Radharani and her sakis, they expand into Lakshmi and her companions. Well, that's... Yes, the Sakis are a different aspect of Radharani's personality. They are, she's the supreme Shakti, and there are different parts of her, of the Shakti. There are different aspects of the total Shakti. Same thing, same, you know, ontologically the same, just the bhava is different. The mood is different, the mood is turned up. And, you know, it's like playing music very quietly and then blasting it. So it's turned up in Goloka, it's a different bhava, but basically it's the same thing. Same tattva, the same ontology, same thing, same entities are there, the original Shakti and the expansions of the Shakti. But how they manifest varies according to the mood, the bhava. It's the same entities. The queen, the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha and the queens in Dwarka are the gopis in disguise. They're the same people. Which Vedic literatures? Chaitanya Charitamrita? Shrutis would be disguised. Very, very few references that can be identified specifically as Krishna and Radharani. Only one or two in all the Shrutis. At least the Veda Samhitas. The Upanishads, you'll have to look at special Upanishads like the Gopaltapani, which is not accepted by impersonalists anyway. They just dismiss it as sectarian. So, not counting the Gopaltapani, you find hardly any direct references to Krishna and his pleasure potency. It's too confidential. There you have to look at the Bhakti Shastras. The few scriptures that openly and systematically present the science of pure devotional service on the highest levels. You won't find that in the Rig Veda. You could dig it out. You could interpret the Rig Veda in a transcendental way, but it's not obvious to anybody who reads it. It's hidden. It's there, but it's hidden, and nobody can see it. It's there. If you dig deep enough and you dig with the right, you know, insight, you could interpret the Rig Veda to be describing the glories of Goloka. But you got to dig pretty deep to do that. Deeper than most people can see. Yes. 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 But there are devotees who enter Goloka as sadhakas also. It's not that everybody in Goloka is nitya siddha. So, I mean, otherwise we have no hope. Now we're counting on getting in as sadhakas. So there is place for in Goloka also for those who took trouble, and Krishna's going to have a special feeling for them in Goloka too. Well, you know, the phrasing is, I'm not pleased with God's fortune in the way that I'm pleased with this special devotee who took trouble. There's different ways of being pleased, and the difference between them is really subjective. You can't put it on a mathematical scale that one is better than the other. They're just different. So there's a different, special way, a special kind of pleasure that Krishna enjoys when he regains his profligate son. When the fallen Duryodhana comes, it's not that it's always quantitatively, you know, 30 degrees better, 30% better. It's not mathematically, it's objectively different, that's all. Different. It's special, unique. But pleasure is subjective anyway. Your rasa is the most pleasurable thing for you. It's not for somebody else, but for you, it's the most. Whatever your particular rasa is. And if you're a materialist, your rasa, your perverted rasa is your highest pleasure. It's all subjective. So you can't reduce it to mathematical formulas anyway. Well, you know, A is greater than B. A is different than B. And there is a hierarchy of rasa, so one rasa is superior to another. But still, when your rasa is the best one for you. And rasas are not just, you know, some commodity need to be compared and sold at the market. You know, the highest price, the lowest price. We're not just looking at mathematics. We're looking at what suits each individual. Your rasa is the right one for you. You were getting, you know, like you put on a jacket that's five sizes too big. It's not for you. It may be bigger and more impressive, but it doesn't fit you. So you wear your own rasa, and that will give you the greatest satisfaction. Well, but maybe we're misreading it. What Krishna says is, goddess of fortune is not dear in the way that this other devotee is dear. It's a different way of being dear. Not necessarily that goddess of fortune isn't dear. That's not the message. Or that she's less dear by 35%. It's just different. It's unique. Okay. You know, sometimes Krishna says things to one person, and he says the opposite to the other person. When he talks to the goddess of fortune, I don't think he says the same thing. So, yeah, Krishna's tricky. Yeah, you can't pin him down. Yes. And if Narayan told the Goddess of Fortune, "I don't like you as much as all these other devotees," he'd probably get a rolling pin on his head. But that's a sadhaka. You know, that statement applies to sadhakas. If you're already nitya siddhi, you don't have to go any trouble. Well, we're fallen souls, so it applies to us. But those who are never fallen, they can ignore that statement. They don't have, you know, that means everybody who's disqualified themselves by falling down, they're going to have to undergo trouble to get back up again. But if you never fell, what trouble do you have to undergo? Are different? Yes. Generally, a sadhaka does have to undergo some trouble. There's just different kinds and different degrees of trouble. Show me someone who practiced devotional service and never underwent any trouble. I don't think there is such a person. A sadhaka who avoided all trouble. I don't think it's possible. Just living in this world. You know, part of your sadhana is you have to continue living in the material world for some time. That's enough trouble. Just living and then getting old and getting sick and dying, that's plenty of trouble. Even if nothing else is imposed, just being here is trouble enough. And that's part of sadhana bhakti. You've got to stay in the material world and practice. Prabhupada didn't want to come to the material world. He refused at first. You know, I'm not going to that place. It's nothing but misery. So there's plenty of trouble just by living here. So how can you avoid trouble? Okay. So we have the privilege to suffer. We could have avoided it. Anyway, if I sneak in, Krishna will call the Yamadutas, get this guy out of here. What's he doing here? Okay. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.